My name is Nick. I'm a sex and love addict.
Hey.
Just kind of take a quick moment. I didn't expect there to be like a crazy event here. So parking was hard, and I feel like a little bit frazzled. So I'm just going to breathe for a second and ground myself in this room. I'm really happy to be speaking at this meeting. This is one of my favorite meetings ever, definitely one of my favorite meetings of SLAA, which is funny. When I was first coming to this meeting, I hated it. I felt so on the outside of this meeting. I felt like everyone just called on everyone that they knew, and I could never get called on, and I couldn't like hear the solution. I have a weird thing with SLA where I can't hear well. Like, I can hear well in the rest of my life, and then I get into a SLA meeting and I'm deaf. And I don't identify with you, and I don't hear the solution. And everyone's different from me, and no one has what I have, and definitely no one knows what to do about it. And I'm alone, and I'm screwed. And I would walk out of this meeting just being like, fuck, man, I gotta go somewhere else. And so I'm really glad that I don't feel that in this meeting anymore. Like I said, I'm a sex and love addict. Sex and love addiction is a real thing. I have it. For me, it is deadly. It's progressive, but there is a solution, and I am getting to live in that solution, and it is mind-blowing. I am regularly in shock that this thing actually works. and it has worked because I did I've done two withdrawals, but my last withdrawal was about a year, and I engaged in top lines, and I learned more and more how this illness appears in my life in really subtle ways and bigger ways, and I took that away, and I had to learn how to sit with myself, and I had to learn how to sit with feelings that were really hard, and the steps work. And I've had an experience of the steps working in my heart rather than my mind. I could understand this program pretty fast, and I could talk like I knew how this thing worked, but I didn't feel it. I didn't feel the surrender. I didn't feel the belief in the God. I didn't feel any of those things. So I just want to carry a message today that there is hope here and there's a solution here, because I need to know that. I would be so screwed if there wasn't a solution here. Like I said, this is deadly for me. Like, I have hit bottoms with sex and love addiction that were and are still terrifying to me, of just completely losing myself, of having a mind that would not stop turning and turning and spinning and obsessing. And I've been suicidal in relationships. I've been suicidal like every year of my life, from the time I was 16 till about a year ago. This is the longest stretch I've gone without. And it's always, I didn't see it before, but it always had to do with what I think the crux of this illness for me is, which is a damaged relationship with myself. I have a bruised relationship to self. I don't know who I am. I don't know how to be who I am. And my solution to figure that out takes on, talk about in step two in our literature, the same obsessive compulsive patterns of my disease. So I've tried to solve it myself, usually just by sitting down and being like, who am I, what do I like, you know, what are my values, you know, let me make a list of values and principles and my passions, and then I'll know who I am. And turns out I figured out who I am by taking away addiction, which blocked me from me and blocked me from a higher power, and then sitting with feelings, because my feelings told me about myself. And learning how to do that has given me a relationship back to me. I'm sober dating currently. Three or four days ago, I asked the woman who I'm sober dating to be my girlfriend. First time I've ever asked someone to be my girlfriend. I've just like ended up with a girlfriend most of the time. We just are like, oh wow, we're together. She said yes. That was on date six. That night she said, I love you. And I didn't say it back. And that's a huge sober moment for me. I'm the kind of guy who says I love you first date appetizers. And I think I mean it. And I'm like, well, I love you so much. Is that five? Thank you. And I received it well. I said, wow, I feel like you mean this. And it's like moves me. And I want to say that to you, but I want to know how much I mean it when I say it. So I'm not going to say it yet. Because one of my problems is I would just get with people that I didn't even know. I would think I would have a fantasy about them. And for me, this, maybe because I'm in AA as well, this disease takes on the characteristics so closely of drugs and alcohol. Fantasy, when I'm in fantasy, I am on a hallucinogenic drug. I'm in a different reality. Sex for me is like doing coke. Love for me is like getting drunk. But it's better. Love for me is better than whiskey. Like I am like in this ecstatic, drunken place. And it feels really good. It feels really good to be in fantasy about who I am and who she is and what we are. For the first time, I'm in like a real relationship with someone, building one. And it's because I'm following a dating plan, which I resisted so. I was like, God, the dating plan is like, just sounds like it takes all the fun out of this. But what I'm actually getting to do is get to know a person and have the pace of my like being and heart follow the pace of my connection to someone. Instead of this just like, you know, my heart just like, or whatever, just like flying into them and I don't even know them. And then I'm in fear because I don't actually know someone and I've like given them my emotional life. And then I start to just blow up the relationship, like I sabotage it. I want to remind myself this is not a dating program. This is just like a really nice, this is a nice 2 minutes? Okay. This is a nice result of the work I've done on myself, but my relationship to myself has become primary. My relationship to myself and my higher power. I am not cured of sex and love addiction. So I'm watching, and I think the purpose and the fun for me of getting to be dating is not necessarily to find the right one or anything like that. It's that I experienced all this healing in withdrawal. I did this long withdrawal and I like came to know myself and I did top lines. And I want to share some really big wins around that because this program is just fucking amazing. But what happens is when I get put into a relationship, I get to heal more because my shit's going to come up. Like my patterns are going to come out and my old behavior of self-abandonment is going to come out. And so it gets to kind of push along my healing. And I'm watching that happen. I'm dating this person, and got it. Thank you. And I'm not free. I have the old stuff is coming up. The desire to enmesh, the fantasy around who she is and what we could be, the paranoia, the fears, the insecurity, the neediness. But this time, I'm able to practice not leaving myself. I know now, and I get to practice now being like, oh, so this stuff is coming up for me. It's not your job to fix it. And it's not even really my job to fix it because I can't fix it. I am powerless over my patterns. And so regularly, I'm in a step 6 and 7, and I turn things over to God, and I ask for an intuitive thought or decision. I ask for things to be removed. Last night I was with her, and I got insecure and weird about something, and my old pattern would be, have a really vulnerable conversation with her. But that's connection, right? And I'll tell her how I feel, but it'll just be my thing, and we're going to connect, and I'll feel it, and maybe she'll help. And I was like, no, it's not her business. I got a thing going on. My mind takes on the obsessive-compulsive patterns of trying to solve things. I can't solve it. Turn it over. God, this thing is coming up. Will you please remove it or show me what to do right now? And it's a totally different, it's like I feel like a whole person in a relationship. I'm like not a little boy trying to date a woman anymore. I actually act like an adult finally. And I'm not doing it perfectly, but it's just, it's remarkable that that's going on. I want to make sure I get to share, like, because of withdrawal and this program and finally creating a real relationship with myself that matters, I have, like, my life is amazing. And I feel weird that I'm just sharing, like, really positive shit. Is that my time? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just going to rap, gently rap. One thing I learned in withdrawal was how to deal with my emotions. And I learned how to do that by writing poetry. And God has like a crazy way of working things out that I ended up in withdrawal and with that top line, applying to a master's of poetry, getting in. I don't know how I did that. I didn't have any resume or anything. And in August, I'm moving to New York to go get a master's in poetry. And that to me is 100% God, 100% this program, finding out who I am, and that mattering more than anything else, what God wants for me in my life. And I'm committed to that. So thank you so much for allowing me to speak here, and I love this meeting. And